Great to be back from Presence Conference and also from Africa. For those of you who weren't here last week, we had a fantastic Easter, didn't we, church? And here we are again. And can I encourage you next week? Let's have a no excuses Sunday. Turn to your neighbour and say no excuses Friday night. And no excuses Saturday night if you're a man. Because you're going to have, on this occasion, you're not only going to have Greg and Roy. Roy can lock you up. You might also have Big Nige on your tail, so come on. Papa, where are you going to be Saturday night? You're going to be at Real Men. Let's have our different cultures, whether we're from the Congo. Isn't it great having someone from the Congo in our congregation? Richard, good man. And whatever culture you're from, Jamie speaks across. It's going to be good. So I would encourage you, Friday night, what time is it? 7 o'clock to 8 o'clock. It's a one-hour service. I would encourage you, because of Jamie and who he is, to invite a friend and go out to dinner with him afterwards or use our cafe and hang out. So that's Friday, and then it's just going to build momentum through Saturday night. I believe I'm going to learn how to fillet a fish or something. Something like that. There's lots of secrets going around, but I know it's going to be a great night. I don't know how to fillet a fish, so I'd like to. There's no secrets, but I'd like to. So that's cool. And then Sunday, of course, we're going to have our church service, and Jamie's going to come. He's also a man that's full of the power and presence of God. He's seen people healed as he's prayed for them, and so I don't think we want to miss what God's doing right now. Amen.
Amen.
All right. It's been Anzac Day on Friday. Has anyone here got a mum or dad who was in the war? You have some people? Fantastic. It's good to remember, isn't it? I don't know about you, I'm glad that I'm a free man. And I've talked to many of you who've come from different nations, and I know that you're blessed being in this country. We thank you that we can walk down the streets and not get accosted. We thank you, Lord, that you are an amazing God. We love you today, Father. I wanted to just say that, and I want to move into my message in a moment, John 9. Before we do that, last week I mentioned that Pastor Colley actually prayed for a young girl that had been raised that had been dead for 3 days, and he prayed for her in the hospital, and the doctors were completely astounded because the girl came back to life. We may not be able to understand much of the accent of this video, I'm just letting you know, so if I talk over it, you'll understand, but we'll get the message, but I'll do my best in a moment. I'd like you to open the Bibles at the same time to John chapter 9, if you have a Bible or use your device. It's interesting that I had this message prepared, and I was leaned over to Steve, who was also at the meeting and during the week at Presence Conference, and said, Pastor Phil's, he's preaching my message. And I think it's great that God's doing similar things through our movement of churches. Yeah. Phil's a great preacher. Yeah. I'm not saying that I'm greater than that, but I can do what God's given me to do. And that's all we can all do, right? And that's the key. And, I want to talk. In some ways, I just keep getting this morning, let's have no excuses. Let's start to change what's on our mouth. Pastor Colley lives in some of you know, second poorest country in the world, it's referred to, it is known as. So it's pretty poor. Not that many people work. And he could have the excuse like, well, I'm scraping them to get by. I don't even have enough food for my family. He also looks after 10 orphan kids. And yet the power of God's still on his life, and he's prepared to pray for people, and he sees God move miraculously. Who'd like to see the video? Let's do that right now. Turn the lights off.
part of the school. She attended the school on a scholarship. But then she one day got sick and actually died. No life, she was not shaking. So the secret church went there in the hospital and we keep praying and praying. And
so Collie went to hospital.
That gave her more hope in the ministry. She really believed in C3 is a real church. That's why today she's continuing to pursue her everywhere we go.
So, Pastor Collie, how did she die? What was the sickness she had?
Actually, the sickness was not diagnosed. She died from the house before even entering the hospital.
Oh, okay.
Okay, so the doctor was doing preparation to go to be buried, but then we intercepted and said, "Well, this child did not die." And the Lord said that she said never died.
It's outside. Sorry about the quality.
God give us, we have to based on the word of God. So we pray, and then actually when I call, and I even went ahead of paying some hospital bill for her. When I called, she said the child is alive. So that was a miracle. So a lot of things is happening in C3, just things though.
Awesome.
Let's go for the power of God.
What was the reaction of the hospital staff, the doctors?
They were shocked. Never seen that before. In the Benson Hospital. Never ever in history ever seen it before.
Yeah.
That was the first time seeing that come to America.
Yeah. That's awesome. Thank you, God.
Fantastic. Thanks, Shane. Trying his best out there in the paddock. Just have the lights back on. So, Pastor Collie's got a very strong accent. Basically, that little girl that you saw there with her mum, and the mum came up to me afterwards. I missed part of the interview, And Mum came up to me and said, "Here's my daughter." You can imagine, you know, she'd been dead, and she was in dead at home, which is what Pastor Collie said. And then he started praying, and he felt like God say, "Go to the hospital." So he went to the hospital. The doctors have pronounced her dead, is what he actually said. And when he prayed for her, and the girl got up out of the bed, I mean, this is Bible, isn't it? My goodness, no wonder the doctors were like, "This has never happened before." It was also a matter of fact for Pastor Collie. It was all like, well, that's what God does. That's what the Word Bible says. So I want to say to you this morning, what does God want to use you for? What is it that God wants to use you for? Can we be a no excuses church? You know, and I want to talk about this in this passage of Scripture this morning, John 9. And, you know, I want to actually call it, let's not play the blame game. Let's not play the blame game. How many times do we have critical situations in our life and we kind of try and justify it? Well, it didn't happen because of this. And we can always come up with an excuse. Are you like me? Who thinks that God's great? Who thinks God's bigger than who we are? Just say these three words: God's bigger than me. Four words: God's bigger than me. John 9, 1-7. Let's read it this morning. This is a New Living Translation. As Jesus was walking along, he saw a man who had been blind from birth. Teacher, his disciples asked him, "Why was this man born blind? Was it a result of his own sins or those of his parents?" Verse 3, "It was not because of his sins or his parents' sins," Jesus answered. "He was born blind so that the power of God could be seen in him. All of us must quickly carry out the task assigned us by the one who sent me, because there is little time left before the night falls and all work comes to an end. But while I'm still here in the world, I am the light of the world." Then he spat on the ground, made mud with the earth, and smoothed the mud over the blind man's eyes. He told him, "Go and wash in the pool of Siloam." So the man went and washed and came back seeing. This scripture is a living above the line reality. What I'm talking about, yes, junior youth, you're meant to go. I'm getting into my preaching. If you want to stay, you can. Who's junior youth? Junior youth? Thanks, guys. Let's give them a hand. Junior Youth have Connect today. Sorry, I forgot all about it. That happens. Man, they're growing. All right. So here we are. I want to talk about the reaction of the disciples today and how Jesus wants us to live our lives. Living above the line. What I mean by that statement, and many of us understand this to some degree, but it's worth repeating again. We're basically saying, well, what does Jesus want to do in this moment? There is a problem here. There is a challenge right now. Who's got a challenge in their life? I have. I've got more than one. There are things I need God's help on. I'm sure it's the same with you. That's what living above the line is talking about. And Jesus is hearing his disciples. They're making excuses. The blind man's right there, right? They're right there with the blind man. He can hear everything that's going on too. But his actions are defying their every word. See, right here, right now, we've got to actually start to rearrange the way we think about what God wants to do in a person's life. God wants to heal somebody. Yes? God wants you to actually... Does God do something just like... What does he use? Who does he use? He uses us. He uses every one of us. He uses... And yet the disciples, they kind of not getting it. I'm going to get to this. And the reason for something, it may be that we may know the reason for a situation. It may be that we know, we have insight about a certain situation and a certain person and why that situation is like that, right? We know about certain groups. That the reason why they're like that, there are various reasons. But that's no excuse for the power of God to move on them. Is God able to move regardless of what a person has done in their life? Yes. So regardless of whether someone has been drinking all their life and their kidneys have deteriorated because they've been an alcoholic, can God touch their life? All right. So no matter if someone's been smoking because that's all they've known, they've been brought up in a family that's the way they live their life, can God come and touch them and heal their lungs? Okay. And so if someone needs a financial breakthrough but they've lived wrongly in the past, they've got lots of debt, but can God change that situation? How does that person change? And Jared alluded to it today. Jared is a university student. And he does work a little bit sometimes because he's got a great friend in our church that helps with the university. The only reason I'm saying is because, but as we work, as we put our hand to what God has us to do, as we don't make excuses for our lot in life, then God is able to move in what we provide him. So if we have a financial breakthrough required, what do we have to do? We've got to give something. How does God move in your life if you aren't prepared to actually put something into God's hands? I think all of us need to be shifted. The reason why I'm putting on next weekend, or Andrew and I have decided we're going to bring Jamie Malcolm over for next weekend, is because I think that there are certain times in our life where we need a shift. Who'd like to be shifted a little bit by God? Who'd like their friends to come and receive Christ as Lord of their life? So if you've got family and friends, bring them and let's see shift happen. Teacher, his disciples asked him, why was this man born blind? Was it a result of his own sins or those of his parents? You know, who's ever been like this? I know I have. I was down surfing in a place called Avalon, probably a couple of years ago now, and it was early morning, it was probably about 6 a.m., and there was an elderly gentleman, a cray fisherman, in his little dinghy, and he'd put some pots in really close, but overnight the swell had come up, and he'd become inside the reef, and there was some quite large waves breaking out the back. And I saw him come in and collect his cray pot, or the contents of the cray pot, in his, like, was about a 3-4 metre dinghy. And then I watched as I'm sitting out the back waiting for a wave, and I thought, I'll just see how this pans out. I won't take off. And I'm kind of a bit cynical, a little bit critical. I'm going, inside my head, I'm going, this guy's an idiot. None of you have ever said that, have you? I'm going, is this guy? Anyhow, watch him. This big wave comes and he tries to surf it along a little bit. He wasn't going to make it over the top, but I'm just kind of shaking my head. He is an idiot, you know? And, you know, he comes in and the wave turns him over a few times and he ends up down on the reef right near the shore, capsized. And I'm thinking, you idiot. I presume it was an unchurched guy next to me, and he goes, we better go and help him out. And I go, well, you can go. He's an idiot. Then God said something to me. Don't you hate that? Then God said, well, Nigel, you could actually help him out. You know, he is kind of stranded, and it wouldn't be that much. They probably need you just to help right the boat, and you're taller, and you can probably push him off that reef. Oh, okay then. Get down there. Helped him out, got him going. And he turned to me. He hardly said a word. I think he was so embarrassed. And at the end he goes, thanks so much for getting me out of that mess. And that was it. How many times are you like me and we think that, like, the wrong thing first? Does God want to help that person? Who does he use? He uses us. Every time he wants to use us. And yet half the time we're like the disciples. Whose sin was it? Does God care? Honestly, does God care? Who's ever done something silly and dumb? Am I the only one? Who's ever done something really stupid? Come on. Who's a man here who's prepared to actually acknowledge that they've done some dumb things? And the truth is, we're going to keep doing them to the day Jesus comes back. We're dysfunctional people, but we can help one another, can't we? And what do we have that perhaps other people don't have? Who? Well, it didn't sound very convincing. What have we got that no one else has got? One more time. What have we got that no one else has got? We got Jesus, right? We got the Son of God. He's alive. He's the resurrection life. He's inside our hearts. And yet half the time we go, you idiot. Isn't it true? So I'm saying, let's be no excuses kind of people from this day forward and say, no matter what comes into our world, no matter what situation we're faced with, maybe the Holy Spirit wants to use us to change that person's situation. So first of all, I want to talk about, let's not play the blame game. See, when it comes to our society, we mostly play the blame game. It has got out of control. I mean, we even try to blame the council for an uneven piece of pavement because we know that they'll pay out. We're not far behind the United States. My parents made me this way. My country made me this way. Politicians probably win the prize for this. I mean, it's not just Liberal and Labor. How many was it? Too many to mention in the last election here in WA. Everyone's blaming someone else, right? Are we a part of that crowd? Are we a part of that crowd? We're not. We're not meant to be that kind of people. We start out comparing. What are the disciples doing? Well, he must have done something really bad when he was younger. Well, no, he was blind from birth. Was it a result of his own sins? I mean, he's not like me. We can say this, can't we? We can think this. We play the comparison game whether we like it or not. He's not like the majority, so someone must be to blame. He must have been bad. It must have been his parents' fault. Yeah, of course, that makes sense. If he didn't have a father like I did, this would never have happened. Come on. Let's stop playing the blame game. My wife's really good at this. She says, Nigel, I don't want to hear it. How old are you? And when you play the blame game, you give the other person power. Come on. When you play the blame game, you're giving that other person power. My dad's been dead for 20 years. I decided a little while ago that I would not stop. I would stop thinking about all the things that, because I've got so many of his characteristics. Is anybody like me that's got a parent and you're similar to them? I bet you there's a few of us in this room. And it's very easy to think, well, that's because of my father. Come on. Oh, and you know, and then one day it erupts, and you know, and then your wife will butt in. Gee, you're like your dad. Let's stop playing the blame game. Let's take what Jesus is in our life. Let's allow Jesus. Is Jesus meant to control our life? Is Jesus meant to have a possession of our hearts? And I know that we're dysfunctional. I know that we're still working towards, you know, until we get to heaven, we're not going to be perfect. But at least we can be a little bit better than society. If someone's starting a conversation and picking on someone or judging someone else, we can say, well, I love that person anyhow. You know, I like that quality about that person. We can always find something good to say about someone, can't we? Let's try that. Can we try that together as a church? You know, we can do it in church, can't we? Why don't they do it this way? Why don't they do it that way? You know, there can be so many things. Well, if people are serving, they're trying their best. Why don't you try and get yourself involved and help the situation rather than start blaming? Come on. Let's be up to the challenge, and if we see a problem, why don't we try and solve it? Rather than blame, we'll make excuses. Are we in church together? And yet we can pull down. But if we work together, who'd rather work together? See, we can make society better. We can have a better school. We can have a better church, we can have a better connect group, a better family, a better holiday, a better life, simply by changing the way we think. And too often we get mixed up in the blame game, and with the blame game comes blindness. There is no reason why that child is dying in hospital, it just happened. You know, that's one example, Pastor Collie, of healing. I know that there's plenty more, and it's a mystery of God, but we won't stop praying for God to heal them. But at the same time, we know that that person's dying. Well, they're dying. Don't make excuses. Just be there or say nothing rather than put your foot in it. There's no reason why that person got lost. They're just lost. And we spend how many millions of dollars on finding yachtsmen and everyone else. But we do it. Why? Because those people are important. If you were out at sea lost, would you want to be saved? There is no reason good enough when people have great need as to why we should not help. Come on. Don't try and understand it. There's earthquakes, floods, fires. Don't try and rationalize everything. Whose sin was it? All those people over in that country, they're so bad. Give me a break. Does God love them? And the disciples are having a discussion with Jesus, and the blind man is standing right there. Have you ever done that? Had a discussion about someone, and the person's like standing right there. Don't do it. He's blind. He wasn't deaf. The blind man hasn't said anything, but everyone has an opinion. I was watching this news article, and Chappelle's getting in the van, leaving the prison, and the journalists are going, "Oh, I don't think she should be wearing that scarf over her head. Come on. Let's not get taken in by the things of this world. Everybody's an expert on everybody else's life except their own. Let's not get connected with that kind of society. There's magazines completely about gossip about everybody else's life, and yet their own life is in a mess. Stop playing the blame game. Say it with me. Stop playing the blame game. Number two, there's glory from blindness. And Jesus rebuked them. In verse 3, he says it wasn't the sins. Now, this is too soft in the New Living Translation. It wasn't their sin. It wasn't their father's sin. Come on. He's basically going, come on, guys. I thought you'd been traveling with me all this time. You would have realized by now. And the fact is, only God knows why something happens. This man was blind, and the disciples were saying it was because of his sin. If sin made kids blind, every kid would be blind. You and I would be blind. But just maybe that's the point Jesus is making. In the Message Bible, on John 9, verse 3, it says this: you're asking the wrong question. You are looking for someone to blame. There is no such cause-effect here. Jesus rebukes the accuser. The disciples thought they had it all worked out. A self-righteous attitude doesn't do the person who needs divine intervention any good. The biggest accuser is the devil. And if you are not careful, you might start imagining all kinds of things, things God doesn't want you to put on others. It may also be that you have recurring guilt. Or you start to believe that because my parents were like that, I will do that too. Who's putting that stuff on you? Come on. If you believe it's someone else's fault, then that's a lot of power that you are going to be giving to someone else on a regular basis. There are always voices, but Jesus rebuked the accuser. Neither the blind man nor his parents have sinned. Neither the blind man nor his parents have sinned. Look instead for what God can do. He is like this so that the glory of God can be revealed through his life. The guy's standing there. He's been listening to this entire conversation. He hasn't said a word. Whenever there's a problem, whenever there's a situation that we face, and sometimes it takes us our mindset change for God to be able to work through our life or our faith to grow. Well, let's just start believing what we can. We don't have to all have the same measure of faith. But wherever we're at right now, let's take the little measure that we have. What does Jesus say? You only need faith as what? How small is a mustard seed? Who thinks they've got at least that much? Yeah, we all have. Can you imagine? No, sorry. Usher, could you please help there? We don't call out when we're having preaching. Thanks, Richard. Love you, Khadija. Just not during the meeting. You good? Not during the meeting. How can God get glory out of blindness? Come on. If you have too much going for you, I can't show off. When we've got it all together, how on earth is God going to work? Come on. I'd rather make mistakes or recognize who I am as a person so that God can have room to move in my life. And the moment we recognize that we're not altogether perfect, amen? The moment we stop judging, that's what I love about this church. So many nationalities, so many cultures, we've become accepting. I believe that God wants to increase the cultures in our church, don't you? If that's going to happen, we have to be the kind of people that go, you know what? I accept them. I accept them. I love them. I care about them. They're good people because God loves them. They might have different way of thinking than I do, but God loves them. They may eat different food than me. I might not like that food, but God loves them. God cares about them. It might be that you're a single today and you can't see that changing in the near vicinity, but God can cut through the blindness. If you're a single person here and you're wanting to be married, keep doing what you're doing and trusting God, because God can cut through the blindness. God can bring someone into the local church where you belong and change your world. It may be that you're married today, but it isn't looking so good. But God can cut through the blindness. It may be that you're suffering in some way and you can't see a way through. But God can cut through the blindness. Jesus said, this man was set up so that my glory can be revealed through his life. I will use brokenness for my glory. I will use sickness for my glory. I will use financial loss for my glory. Those of us who are struggling in this area right now, don't blame the economy any longer. Don't blame what's happened. Let's just get our eyes on the fixer. Let's not go backwards and think if I'd only done that. No, it is what it is. Let's move on and allow God to move into our situation. He loves you. He loves you right now. He doesn't want you to go back and start thinking, if I'd only done that. He wants you to recognize that he is the solution for that problem right now, and he wants to move in that, what you've got right now. Nothing more, nothing less. You see, three, the miracle is coming. All this time, the blind man had said nothing, but still the miracle came to him. It might not come the way we're thinking. We have to fall in love with the God of the process, not the process. John 9, verse 6, he spat on the ground, made mud with the saliva, and smoothed the mud over the blind man's eyes. The guy's already blind. Now he's got all this stuff all over his face. He's smothered. It's dark. It's like, he's told me to go to the pool of Siloam. I don't even know how to get there. But I tell you what, I'm not going to stop. I'm going to go. I've got financial problems, but I'm not going to stop. I'm not going to stop. I'm blind. I've got a covering on. He's made it worse. Why has he made it worse? Why does Jesus make things worse than they have to be sometimes? I don't understand. I'm blind. I'm not sure where I'm going, but I tell you, I'm going to keep going. I'm going to obey Jesus. I'm going to keep stepping out of the boat. I refuse. I refuse. I refuse to stand still when God has a miracle, when I will move. And I'm blind and I don't know the outcome, but I will give to my God. I'm blind and I need healing, But I'm still going to trust in my God, and things may come into my life and people might talk voices into my head, but no matter what, I will still trust in God because there's nothing better than my Lord. I'm blind. Oh, but what about that relationship problem? What about that situation? It's so big. I don't know how to handle it. Oh, will you just put your faith in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and allow the living water to come over you? And he's blind, but he manages to get because people helped him, because you and I helped them, because all of us around were able to help because we understand the life of the living God. And he bent down and he started to take a little bit of water from that pool, and he could start to realize that, oh, I can see just out of that little bit of my eye. And he starts to wash, and the Bible says he came out seeing. He came out what? He came out. Who'd like to believe more, church? Who'd like to see more? Well, we've got to not be play the excuses. We've got to not be blaming people. We've got to take heart of what God wants to use us for. And he couldn't see before now, but now he sees completely. See, your healing is in the going. Just walk it out. Wherever you are right now, whatever your situation, no matter your pain, no matter your whatever the problem is, will you just keep walking with Jesus? Will you stop thinking about what could have been? Will you stop saying it's that wasn't for my father, or it wasn't for that sin, or if it wasn't for this? Come on. Keep going. Let's say it together. Keep going. Keep going. Come on, louder. Keep going. Keep going. Abraham didn't know where he was going, but he stepped out. Bible says he didn't know where he's going until he got there. That's faith. Go wash. Yeah, but Nigel, I still can't see. I still need extra money. I'm not married. I just want a girlfriend or a boyfriend. Stay with the God of the process. I'm waiting for the test results. Stay with the God of the process. I'm at the mortgage brokers. It's not good news. Stay with the God of the process. I'm in the storm. I've been here a while. Stay with the God of the process. I'm lonely. You just don't understand. Stay with the God of the process. You're never alone. See, what we got to do is praise him. Come on, say it with me. Praise him. Praise him. Praise him. The answer to our doldrums is to praise God. He's walking along. The disciples still haven't really got it in their heads. What the heck is Jesus doing? He's put mud on this. Not only, you know, what? I don't understand. We don't need to understand. We just need to obey the word of God. Some of you, your situations would change simply if you obeyed this word. Throw your sin away, people. Those things that have been bothering you for a while, take the masks off. Allow God to penetrate deep into your soul, and you will find the freedom of living the life that he wants you to lead. So you will see. The man went and washed and came back seeing. 9 verse 7. And the more you dip into the water, the more that you can see. Let everything that lives sing praises to the Lord. Praise the Lord, Psalm 150 says. And when this man started seeing, he went back to his neighbors. Listen to this. His neighbors and others who knew him as a blind beggar asked each other, is this the same man, that beggar? This was such an incredible miracle that they didn't even believe that it was the same person. How cool is our God? How big is our God? My goodness. And he's going, I am the man. He had to get it through to them. I am the same man. Wow. The Pharisees are complaining. Let's not be religious people. You don't do a miracle on the Sabbath. God doesn't care what day of the week it is. He cares about your freedom. The man who was blind, he could now see. There are people who have had an experience with me, but they don't know me. And probably people in this auditorium today that you've had an experience with God, but you don't really know him. I'm the God who stuck his hand between that car and the truck and saved you. I stopped that disease from spreading through your body. I made that knee better because I am your God. I healed your back when you didn't know what the answer was going to be. I was with you when you were doing those things that you wish you hadn't. I am the God who got you through all those storms. But the religious people throughout the church wanted to throw out the man with the best news. That's why we have good news, church. God is good news. What's the gospel? The gospel is good news. And God desires that we have relationship with him. When Jesus heard what had happened, he found the man and said, "Do you believe in the Son of Man?" So all this time he's not a Christian. All this time the man's not even saved. He didn't know God. He hadn't had the opportunity. He's an outcast. How would he get to know God? And the man answered, "Who is he, sir? Because I would like to know. You have seen him, and he is speaking to you." Who's God going to use? Who's God going to use? He's going to use you and me. Next weekend, can we invite someone? Next weekend, who's God going to use? Who would like to see a miracle in someone else's life? Who'd like to see God transform a person's heart, the most incredible miracle of all? Let's take this message this week and apply it to the cause of Christ. You know, they were talking about this presence. It's worth mentioning right here before we finish. What soldier, J. John was saying it, what soldier would not follow through on their general's orders? Anyone? What soldier would not die for their country? This is the words of Christ. Can we love others into the kingdom of God this week? Can we at least invite someone? I'm going to go to the gym this weekend and try and invite, well, not try, I'll ask a few people, a few guys. Say, "Well, hey, come Friday night, it's only 1 hour." See, God desires that we have a relationship with him. Jesus is with the man. He's looking at him still. And the man says this at this moment, "Yes, Lord, I believe." And he worshiped Jesus. Who are you going to believe today? Who are you going to listen to? He goes back to his village and he says, "Look, all I know is this. I was blind and now I see." Who's the man who makes us see? Who'd like to see brighter from this day forward? Come on, let's loose the shackles. Let's take off the grave clothes. Let's allow ourselves to be transformed in the image of Christ. Let's bow our heads this morning and stand to our feet. Do you know him today? Come on, let's close our eyes. Do you know him today? Let's stop playing the blame game. Let's stop making excuses. Let's not be religious. Let's not go, "Well, if that would have happened, come on. Let's show the love of God. Why don't we say this sentence together? Say it with me. If you believe this, I'll say it and then you repeat it back to me. I am getting beyond the blame game. I was blind, but now I see. I will praise him. I will walk into my destiny. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name. Amen.